Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
What a week it was! Patrick Reed is your Masters champion. A first-time winner, a baby-faced lad from Texas, and a man who looks as though he might occasionally enjoy a full-size bag of Funyuns or a half-gallon of Rocky Road ice cream. Yes, it was another incredible week at Augusta. As men became boys, and boys became men, and fathers, and sons, and mothers and daughters, and friends, and lovers, and business associates, and lottery winners, and corporate hacks, and lucky ticket owners who didn't even care about golf but just went because they thought it was something cool to do, and old and young, and gay and straight, and nice people and a-holes, and fat and thin, bald and hairy, tall and short, ugly and pretty, and brilliant, and really stupid, Democrats and Republicans, and people who have gotten away with horrible crimes, and mentally unstable people, and drunks and potheads and whores, and people with chronic flatulence, and men with bad teeth, and fancy lads, and women with mustaches, and men who can't grow one, and happy and sad, giddy and mad, all making up a tradition unlike any other. The Masters. Yes, as we listen to the sounds of Augusta, we reflect on the beautiful sights and sounds, the hallowed ground where champions walk, and the gentle birds calling out through the majestic pines, and the peaceful gurgling of Ray's Creek, as the gentle Georgia wind blows across the brightly colored azaleas as the peaceful silence is only occasionally broken by the roar of the patron. Yes, the sounds of Augusta are something we wait for all year round, and it is something we long for during the winter. Jesus Christ, turn down the volume! I think it was Hootie Johnson who once said to Billy Payne as they enjoyed their weekly rub, "Those poor rubes can walk out in the mud, but if they come near the members' entrance, I'll shoot them down with my own pearl-handled pistol." Yes, Augusta's exclusivity is said to be its magic. And it's important to remember that although you all can pay for a ticket or watch it on your magic box, the membership of Augusta National reminds you to stay the F out for the rest of the year. And please remember that they are special, and you are most definitely not. So, it's time to say so long, and congratulations to Patrick Reed. The green jacket is yours. And please remember that that jacket represents one thing and one thing only. Money. Lots of money. Money and privilege and cool cars and not having to buy tickets to anything because you're on a guest list, and big fat houses with butlers and steak anytime you want it, and never having to fly commercial and not having to ask how much anything costs, farting C-notes and just not caring about anything ever. Except the Masters. A tradition unlike any other. Until next year, Rubes. Oh, this is Jim Nance saying S-A-D.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Roy McAvoy's second shot at the second hole has gone deep into the woods. For a report on his plight, let's go down to Gary McCord, who spent most of his life in the woods and in darkness. Gary?
Ben, he's in jail here. No chance for parole. In fact, the only thing he's got to hit the ball back in the fairway. Try to pitch the ball on the green and get up and down first par. He's got no chance to hit it on the green.
$50 says I knock it on from here with a 7-iron.
On the green?
Right on the green.
You got it.
Marshall, you want to move these people back right here? I'm going right there.
McCord, what you got? What's he doing?
Ben, I think he's going to try the old ricochet off the portlet with a hooded 7-iron. He is. He's going to hit it right off the
I cannot believe he's about to hit this shot. Take VT1, record. Record this shot.
Roy McIlroy has banked his third shot at the second hole between the trees off a water closet, toilet or loo as you might call it, and got it on the green somehow in three.
Maybe the shot, though, that does get him right back on track here in this final round.
It could erase that double bogey at one. It may be the best thing that ever happened to him.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the... We're live from the Pfeiffer Studios in our nation's capital. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, a worldwide podcast and radio show with loyal listeners who get it. And if you're here, you're in the know. We are on air, on demand, and heard 24-7 on the new TMOS app. Update it now and get our show all day, every day. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by our good friends at Cornerstone First Financial. If you're not growing, you're dying. And we're proud to announce that Cornerstone First Financial is now licensed in Colorado.
Colorado!
And still more states soon to come. So whether you're in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, or even Colorado, Cornerstone is there to help you when you need it. If you're buying, selling, or refinancing, all you need is Cornerstone First, and they know exactly what to do. So even if you don't, you still come out on top. It's a fact that interest rates are going up, so all TMOS listeners need to act now to refinance, to take cash out, or to pay off debt before rates go up even further. Cornerstone First Financial is here to help. They can figure out your best financial moves and get them done for you so you save money. Approved by Oscar Santana in his blue shirt.
Sir. Wholeheartedly approved.
Click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing from the 202 to the Centennial State. Personal attention from application to closing. They're in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, and Colorado, and they have licenses in all those states, too. Don't wait. Now's the time to call Cornerstone First Financial. Hi, everybody.
Yay,
there we go.
Jim Nance. Yay, Jim Nance.
Didn't do it on Friday, so I figured I'd do the little retrospective with that, and hope you enjoyed that very brief.
Quite a weekend.
Nancy.
Quite a Masters.
Quite a Masters. Quite a weekend for me. Yes, back to urgent care. Fun.
How many is that twice for you now?
Twice within 3 days.
That's nice. They must say, hi, Mike, how you been?
Mrs. O'Mara likes to plan weekend activities with the little guy.
Sure.
And it's always fun, and it's always good to do stuff. And Saturday was no exception. We've all been battling this death grip.
How are they doing? Because we get daily time with you.
She was a whirling dervish. She was all over the house cleaning, doing stuff, projects. I was along for the ride, but I'm steadily... slowly feeling better every day. But
how does your mom say? Antibiotics?
Antibiotics.
You started antibiotics on Friday. So they should really start helping you, I think, by bedtime tonight.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So it's slow. I was dragging, but Mrs. O'Mara likes to lay the whole weekend out and plan our Saturday. And then we get to like 10% of what we actually plan on doing. So the plan was the little guy going to T-ball on Saturday, and then it was and by the way, the T-ball parents that we have are, we just have a really, really cool, chill, fun group, and I'm getting that kind of vibe that these are going to be people that he's associated with for a while if we can keep him in the little league with these parents. They're just cool dads, cool moms, and we have a good turnout, and when you see certain little league teams where, you know, they don't have the same turnout, it makes you feel good. So you're kind of proud of that you've got the parental
They're
participation,
invested.
which is nice. So that
That was cool. And then the plan after the we were going to do three things on the weekend. We were going to go T-ball, farmer's market, and then the wild card. Something that I could do off my back porch because I got a little drainage ditch back there that I can throw a line in. Bass Pro Shops. This is Carla when she gets into the commercial enterprises where they want to draw people into their stores.
You go there even when there's, I get it, even when there's not Santa Claus, you still go to Bass Pro Shops?
Well, here it is. This was not my doing. I am not accepting responsibility for this.
Okay. Right?
Bass Pro Shops has a promotion where they will give kids fishing rods, and then there is a, it's not a lake, it's next to a highway, like a drainage area where water happens to be.
It's standing water. It's a mosquito farm.
But it works for their purposes when they sell their little bass. But I mean, it's a large enough body of water where, but here, it's not that great a body of water. But I didn't know until I got there. I just watched it. So you go to the back of the store, they've got fishing rods lined up, and they got these disinterested employees that are rigging up these fishing, and then they have minnows, and you hook the squirmy minnows, and you throw them into the pond, and all the little crumb crunchers go down there, and nobody catches a fish.
That's the rule.
That's the thing. I've never seen this. That's the drill. But
land is cheap down there. You wouldn't be able to have a pond next to your store in D.C.
because the Bass Pro Shops that just opened in Virginia. I don't know if it has that, right?
I don't think it would.
Yeah.
Where in Virginia? I just
it's near next to Manassas.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. You have to have a certain demographic.
Right past
Manash. Yeah. The only thing you're going
to
catch there
demo.
Is really tetanus. Do.
It's important. Hey, interesting you bring that up.
Oh.
Let me tell you what happened. So, you know, you say to a 4.5-year-old, do you want to go fishing? And he lights up, and it's a fantastic thing, and it's exciting for him. And so he is really, really excited. And he wants to go. He knows Bass Pro Shops because he's seen the Easter Bunny and Santa.
Yeah, it's one of his go-tos.
I'm not proud of this. Okay, look.
All
Carla
the superheroes
finds,
go there.
Carla finds little activities
Take
for the
down
guy.
Down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. Okay. We may not get,
so we get over there,
all day,
and,
but don't you rush away.
Varying amounts of children around.
Yeah, it's nothing like a good old fishing hole.
And a fishing hole's there, and I'm fine. I'm into it. It's fine. And I notice when I walk out and back of the store that there's this bank that goes down, and it looks very like a construction bank where they had construction done, but there's a lake. They've even got a little dock out there. And
does anything
little...
say that it's not a man-made water feature?
No, I don't know what it is. It's just water.
They put it
it's
in there,
Florida.
Yeah.
There's water around here. I mean, that's all the, and all I know is the guys that are rigging up these fishing rods don't want to be there. They don't look like they want to be there. And I said, you need a minnow? I said, you need a minnow? And I said, yeah, okay. I take the minnow, and this one kid who's pushy, and it's always like the 13-year-old that just comes by and is like, yeah. And he takes his minnow, and because he's 13 and he's doing this, he drops it. And then I pick it up, and then he said, ooh. And I said, okay, I'll take it. And I put the hook through the minnow, and then it's off. And we look down at the bottom of the bank, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's no room for my kid. The only thing he's going to catch is a hook in the eye.
Right.
And so I move over to the where the dock is, and there's a tree, and then there's a slightly less steep bank to go down. And my wife and son walk ahead of me, and daddy's got the fishing pole, and I follow them down this bank, and they're down and say, come on, Dad, come on. And I'm moving as fast as my fat ass can go down this bank.
Hurry up, Pop.
And I plant my right foot, and I hear,
Oh God.
And I mean, I immediately know what I have done. I plant my right foot in my extremely expensive shoes, my Croc sandals that I'm wearing.
Oh, change back on a 10.
And I know instantaneously what I have done. I have stepped on a nail.
Oh, no.
I have stepped on a nail. And I lean over on the tree. Oh. I lift my foot up. And the nail that I have stepped on resembles something from the 1800s. Something from a settler that was down here, perhaps Native Americans,
And you sure this isn't stigmata? This isn't God intervening in your life.
It was Greek Easter.
You know, I'm battling the chest Easter thing. I'm out there. I'm trying to do the work. And I look down and the nail is, it's not like a standard nail you would see a roofing nail. It is one of those triangular shaped. It is so rusty.
It's like a spike.
It looks seriously like ye old nail.
Mm-hmm.
I look, it's through the sandal and it's into my foot. Oh. And I am already, we got a bleeder. I'm already gushing. With
so
this.
Scary.
What color are your Crocs? Just while we're painting a picture.
Tan.
Oh, so they don't really, it's good. At least they're not like a fluorescent yellow, because that would look horrifying with the blood on
it. I'm an old man. I'm on the blood thinners. So, mm-hmm. You know, you puncture me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to gush a little bit. That's the way it's going to go. So I immediately, I hand the fishing rod to Carla. I got to go up the hill. And she looks at, she says, oh my God. And I lift the foot
understand.
Up. I don't understand. I don't understand what happens. And I pull the triangular shaped nail from the, through the foot, out of the foot,
ugh,
through the sandal. I mean, the sandal is now nailed to my foot. That's the way this thing. When I put my foot down, it's a lot of pressure. You know,
you have to make lemonade out of lemons. At least your shoe's not going to fall off.
The shoe's not going to fall off no matter what you do. And so I yank it out. And here's where the people at Bass Pro Shops deserve credit. I walk up to the disinterested guy baiting the hooks. I said, "Is there any kind of first aid?" He said, "Yeah, we've actually got a guy that's here for first aid."
So
they have planned for these kids maybe catching a hook in their finger.
Mm.
So they got a full-fledged guy who's a wannabe paramedic.
Sure.
Who's walking around and he's got the little case.
They didn't plan to look around for loose nails down by the fishing hole, but they did hire a guy.
I'm holding the nail. I'm looking at the croc, which now has mud and the foot, and the bottom of the foot is covered with blood and dirt. And this is what the guy from Bass Pro Shops comes over and does. He goes, what do you do, step on a nail? I said, no, I'm holding the nail showing you my bloody foot because I stubbed my toe, you moron. No, I didn't say that, but I wanted to say that. So he reaches in. He's got got a name tag on. He's got a paramedic
kit. Which spelling
kit
of Cletus did he use?
he's got the whole, and he looks, he's a kid about 24, 25.
Of course he is.
And he's got the kit with him, and you know, he's carrying around. And he says, okay, sit right over here. I said, okay. And he reaches into his med kit, undoes a Band-Aid, and comes over to the foot. The dirt, blood
hasn't
covered,
even cleaned it.
Yo, excuse me. Can I get a hose or a bottle of water here? I want to kind of, you know, I want to
I'm fresh
dry.
Out of betadine, so I don't know how to cleanse this wound.
And he doesn't have, you know, they get me a bottle of water. I start doing my own little maintenance on this.
Triage.
And he said, have you had a tetanus shot? I said, no, but I'll probably be getting one. I stepped on a rusty nail. Is there any classic reason why you get a tetanus shot other than stepping on a rusty nail?
That's it.
Why the shot was invented.
My mother lost a brother to a rusty nail in Latin America. That is not even
really?
A joke.
Because it results in lockjaw, right?
Yeah,
tetanus
yeah.
and lockjaw, and then you die.
Well, it's not lockjaw. It was some sort
of symptoms,
poisoning.
Speaking of lockjaw.
It's a nerve poisoning.
Yeah,
that
it's a nerve poisoning.
So it progresses, but lockjaw is...
I don't know anything about lockjaw. I just know that...
I keep praying for it for you, but...
Well, it's...
he
it's
died.
Something that...
I don't want that.
You have to be, you have to be careful.
I don't want Mike to die either.
No, me neither.
This nail was back in times when they were... I don't know. I don't think there were
I don't think it matters realistically now of how old the nail is. It's about
it's just
how,
that it's rusty.
Rust and a puncture.
Yeah, that's all it is. Because if it gets in the bloodstream, then, you know, it's curtains.
They got me. Now you're freaking me out. All right. So
we have modern medicine.
Yeah.
I think you're going to be a lot of
different.
I flush it out and then he takes a little alcohol swab. He said, now, be careful. This might sting a bit. I said, excuse
you
me.
Think?
I'm 58 years old.
Dang.
I'm not the 3-year-old. Okay. Just put the alcohol on it. He puts a Band-Aid on it. He does a nice job with the Band-Aid. And then my little guy who is me, who has that, and I know people that listen to this show might not think I have this, but I'm the kind of person, if I walk into a restaurant, and I see somebody dining alone, I feel for, I'm just, yeah. That's the way
empathetic.
I am.
Empathetic.
And I the thing is, my little guy comes up and Carla says, he didn't want to fish. He was worried about you.
Aww.
And he comes up
wow.
and stands there, Daddy, are you going to be okay? I said, yeah, I'm going to be fine. I said, we have to go get a tetanus shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, he said, yeah, you can get those at like drugstores. You can go to an urgent care and stuff. I said, well, let me call the drugstore. And so I call the drugstore.
Hello?
Just to think, this is where I will get the information
sure.
as to you know, what kind of, can I just go in, bop in, get this thing and be done with it? And so I call my local Walgreens. And I get an answer that is like 10 minutes. Like at the 11 minute mark, he said, so the thing is, it's your tetanus and diphtheria, and you can also get the thing. I'm not sure. I said, and I finally said, should I just go to an urgent care plan? Yeah, yeah, that would be the best plan.
And then so he close yes. by saying all Easter candy 70% off.
It was it was off. And here's the embarrassing part.
Yeah.
When I last checked in with you on Friday, I had been to the same brand new urgent care next to, and by the way, welcome to commercial suburbia USA. I've been to the Bass Pro Shops and then to the urgent care mm-hmm. next to the Walmart.
That's right. Then Walgreens and Applebee's, really
yes,
quite a lovely
Walgreens
day.
Walgreens and Applebee's, and then we had an onion at TGI Fridays, and we did everything. Then it was off to the Barnes & Noble, and then Target was right. Now,
I know that on Friday you had yes. a high opinion of this urgent care medical place.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Glowing
I
review.
Cool. But, but not so glowing that I wanted to visit 2 days later.
Sure.
I didn't think that was going to be, but no. you want a tetanus shot. What better kind of place to go to get a tetanus shot than that joint?
Right.
Especially so I walk if they're quick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I walk in and I see the lady and the lady's in, she's a different lady, but I still make my joke because, you know, comedy is my life.
Sure.
I walk in. I had such a good time 2 days ago. I just wanted to come back. And she looks at me with, you know, when you have a so little reaction, so reaction is, I'm sorry, sir. That would make me a human.
Right.
To actually even acknowledge that you're trying to be like, and this was the Saturday crew. This was the crew that worked yeah. Saturday. They didn't, nobody wanted to be there.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to be there.
How was the crowd in the waiting room?
It was limited. Once again, it was a light turnout. I was A-okay. I saw more cars in the parking lot, but I zip in. And then I go to the physician, and it took a little bit longer, but I was in. I got my tetanus shot. I brought Mama and the little guy in, and I was going to have him watch me get a shot, because when he put the needle in my arm, I was going to go, ha, 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 with a big grin on my face.
Sure.
Say, hey, shots don't hurt, that type of thing. I was gonna, but he was so four at that point, and he started getting so bored that I said, please just take him out. Take him out of the waiting room. Take him out of the we will go get him a chicken nugget somewhere. Just get him out of here.
One nugget.
And so the guy came in, gave me the shot. I'm good for 10 years with that. I don't remember. Nobody remembers when they got their last tetanus shot.
Tetanus shots to me always seem to be
2014.
But it was after something happened, I bet.
Yeah,
I had to go back and get another tetanus shot for the Smith School of Business because everybody needed to have their paperwork in order.
Right.
Even
right.
as younger students. And I'm an older student, so I still had to go back and get all those shots again.
You don't hurt yourself by doubling up.
No,
but most people, I think, get a tetanus shot after something happens. It's not like you're thinking, well, I'm due for one.
Yeah, but when they're kids.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carla, we're driving away, and Carla said, did you save the nail? I said, no. I said, you didn't save the nail? I said, what am I going to do?
Tooth fairy?
Own the Bass Pro Shops because I stepped on a nail? Come on.
You'll be hearing from my attorney.
You'll be hearing, I'll own this. I'll own one of these boats. I am thinking about calling them back, though.
Yeah.
And say, you know, have a little gift certificate for the kid. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, I stepped on a nail in your stupid backyard where you got kids running around. God knows how much. And
better
by the way,
Saul.
as he was stitching me up, I looked down and my little guy sees a screw on the floor. I said, excuse me, do you have any other hardware that's just being left on the floor out here? Is there anything could you help a brother out?
If you want to go fishing, just go down the bank, turn left at the abandoned chainsaw, stop at the wood chipper, and as soon as you get to the jigsaw, you're there.
Yeah, it was fun. It was
then they don't
fun,
have I a hard shoe policy there, right?
The whole state doesn't have
hard
one.
Shoe policy. They don't have that steel toe boots.
Always. What I see, Rubes.
That would have gone through anything. That would have gone anything with like a rubber sole on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're wearing Crocs. Beatles? They're like so thin. Yeah. Right.
It's Florida.
Yeah.
You come down here and see grown man. Here. There's no one that wears proper. I mean, we don't wear footwear. We're lucky not to be walking around in bare feet down here. Come on.
My jeans, not everybody.
Frayed cuffs.
No, there are. You know what? There was one of the guys at my kid's baseball game works in furniture retail. He runs a furniture joint, and he showed up in his hard shoes, and he's miserable. He's got the dress shirt. And the
sweating
long pants,
all the time.
And I look at him, you know, I'm in my jammies watching this T-ball game. Hey, somebody's working today. And he looks at me kind of like, okay, fat ass.
Yeah.
It was just,
you know what? He's okay sweating. He's marking that furniture up 240%. He's okay.
But I was, you know, I kind of wrecked the day and then it was off.
How do you feel now? Is it sore now?
No,
my comeback.
Was it painful? Because tetanus shots would be painful.
Oh, my God.
Tetanus shots hurt the next day, too.
Let me explain what the pain was. The pain was I instantaneously knew what I'd done.
Oh.
This was not a sting pain. This was a drive a nail into the bottom of the foot pain, and I knew immediately, but I took care of it. I think it's a I don't understand. I took care of it, hopefully.
Does your butt hurt where you got the shot?
I got it in my shoulder.
You
get in the shoulder.
Oh, I always ask. Yeah.
For the buck.
Okay. No, I got it.
As
I
soon as the doctor
shoulder.
Comes in, I start unbuckling. I say, let's get this started.
I said, and so I use the same joke because I try to disarm with humor.
Sure.
And I said, the doctor comes in, this gray-haired guy, you know, he kind of looks like Alan Seuss. And he comes walking in.
Google it, everyone. And, that's a good reference.
Yeah, if you know, that's an old reference. You're going to just have to do it. I'm sorry. That's what he looked like.
Hi, I'm here to give you your shot.
Understand, someone stepped on a nail.
You don't want any rust in your blood. I'm Alan Seuss.
So I said the same joke. I said, I had such a good time that I just decided I'd come back. I was here just a couple of days. And he looks at me and goes, yeah, I see it on your chart.
Oh.
Okay, you don't want to be here.
That's either. Alan's brother. That's Alan Seuss' brother, Dick, is who that is. Dick Seuss.
So I look at my four-year-old and look at the doctor. I said, Michael, why don't you tell him what you want to be when you grow up? He goes, I want to be a doctor. And the doctor looks at him and goes, oh, good. And then he just continues. It's the urgent care.
Okay?
You pulled
something's
some heavy hitters.
Terribly wrong,
heavy hitters, and they didn't work.
That's brutal.
No, you know what? He did say he paused and he said, you have to work really hard in school. You have to study real hard to do that. And I thought that was really nice because I'm kind of laying the groundwork for them. You know, nothing would make me prouder.
What you should have said is when he said you have to work really hard or you'll end up working at urgent care on a Saturday.
Stop it. That is not. No one knows what path people take.
No, everyone is to their own person a man. That's right.
You could be handing, you know, you could
be
banding.
Yeah, they're still doctors, right?
You could be putting Band-Aids on somebody's dirty feet at Bass Pro Shops.
Also a doctor.
Back near the drainage ditch, okay? Everybody's got their different path, all right? That's why I think we ought to spread the wealth in this country a little bit so everybody's in a better mood.
Rob is the snoot of snoots.
That's me.
He's like, oh, man, D-League, must be a doctor, bad doctor, if he's at urgent care.
A Saturday urgent care.
My urgent care guys are always from a mysterious land.
This was after the farmer's market, though, that we had gone to between T-ball and Bass Pro Shops. And the farmer's market, you know, Carla, you can't tell me to stop eating and then take me to a farmer's market where it's like a heroin addict. Going to the different booths of the black tar heroin that they have at the
different
places.
Everything's organic.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, everything was there. And I got ticked off and then snuck over. Carla said to me, why don't you just go to the booths you want to go to? I said, okay, I'll go to the booths. And I went to see the German lady who makes the really delicious coffee.
Strip waffles?
She makes the really delicious coffee cake. And I said, I'm over here to have your really fattening, delicious coffee cake and take it home and see if my wife will let me have it. And she goes, I've taken all the calories out of it.
She has said that 75 times a day.
I took all the calories out of it. That's it. Put it in Einen mouth. Shoot the crumble on top of the coffee cake. It is like a sexual experience.
The secret ingredient is hate.
Ah, enjoy your cake. Later, you will step on iron nail. Anyway, we'll take a break. Come back with more fun, whatever we're going to talk to. We'll talk to our intern, Andrea, too.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The struggle is all too real. Elderly talk show hosts wheezing and gasping for air. Boss drunks upset with big grocery.
Wegmans does not respect you as a customer. Wegmans sees you as a rube.
Bolivian immigrants at a loss for words. It doesn't have to be this bad. Here's how you can help. Don't be a tick. Get a TMOS bonus package for that extra hour of comedy every week that you can't get anywhere else. Your help can preserve the funny for years to come and make America great again. Thank ye.
Wow. Thanks, Jim Amato. Welcome back to Mike O'Mara's show.
Oh, what? That's got to be the new title. Mike O'Mara's show. I like that.
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah. Mike O'Mara's neighborhood.
This segment of the program brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring?
Hiring.
Which is to say, are you posting your position to job sites and waiting and waiting for the right people to see it? Let ZipRecruiter help you. ZipRecruiter is the smarter way. They built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day.
Wow.
That's right there is the reason you should using this. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter shows you how to find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the show. Anybody watch the golf tournament over the weekend?
There was a golf tournament?
Yes, yeah, a little golf sir. Tournament.
Yeah, yeah, I watched some. I watched the last couple hours of it.
This is, you know, like NBC with the Olympics and CBS with the Masters. What they do is they get their preset storylines that they... Here's what I've figured out now, finally, about network television and covering a sporting event. It's no longer enough to really just do a great job of covering the action. They have to have their little... They don't feel that we as fans of sport in America are bright enough to just enjoy the action. They need to put a little story out and have this story and this story. And if it goes awry, like it did because they had a first-time winner that was schlubby and not telegenic and didn't and not cut and
not a good
Tiger
talker.
And not Rory and not that. So they didn't know what to do. And I don't think there's ever been a champion who got as little real juice as this guy did.
You're right.
It just seemed, and it's because he's not, you know, he's got too big a shirt on. Well, he's kind of schlubby.
They were rooting for Ricky Fowler to take him over. Like they were
hoping for an exciting
No, but just at even at the end where like it was almost impossible for Fowler to come back, and he like has this incredible final six holes, and you're like, oh my god. Yeah. But the champ is the Captain America. He's not flinching, right?
No.
By the way,
Captain America was sort of a feeble wheeze at trying to turn him into something. He's not Captain America.
He said it himself. He called himself
that. Even worse because he's just a guy in a big pink shirt.
He's just a big pink shirt. But the thing is, you got the guys that with corporate America sponsorships behind them. You got your Rorys and your Jordans. And the thing about Ricky, I like Ricky Fowler. I think he's a class act. Jordan Spieth, there's really not much bad you can say about the kid, okay? And then you got Rory McIlroy, who is... What are you looking at over there, Rob? What are you doing?
There's a new TV in here, and I'm trying my damnedest not to look at it. It's distracting.
Why don't you turn the television off? Why don't you turn the television
off? Probably 12?
What's going on the TV that's distracting
It's
you?
News.
You, I've never seen you do that. And all what were you seeing?
There was a car chase. I apologize. It's hard to not see it. Christ. It's hard to not see it in my periphery. Right. My apologies.
Just focus on Mike.
No, you don't need to focus on me. Getting back to this whole thing, corporate America has these these 20 somethings that everybody loves. And if they are
they're
not going to be part of the deal. And Jim Nance, I believe he's got his little story there. And here's the thing, and this might make me an ass, but I will tell you what I don't like. These young 20-somethings that have all this money that are swaggering around, they strike me. And I'm talking about, even though I like them and you can't find fault with them, they're very mature. They're very responsible. Ricky Fowler is an incredible sportsman.
Yeah.
He was there to congratulate Patrick Reed at the end. They have a little bit of a brat vibe, especially Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy, these two stellar golfers, have a brat vibe that I just can't get by. They both kind of have this snotty, bratty little vibe about
them. I think
them,
it
and
happened.
I know it's, yes.
When the game shifted younger, post-Tiger. Okay. And when we stopped seeing people that were built like Lee Trevino, and we started seeing people that were built like Tiger and Jordan Spieth, it got younger,
I think that
sort of throws a brat vibe as well. The game shifted younger, and I think that
I was happy to see the schlub win. All right,
I didn't mind that at all.
In a pool, I was happy to see the schlub.
But you did say something great. You said they do.
Why are you shaking your head, Oscar? I was happy to see the schlubby guy win. It was nice to see.
I'm not a fat man, right? So
I know you're not a fat man,
but I don't see.
Well, you're sort of on the cusp.
Well, actually, I've lost
and
some
pounds.
And I don't
think would you call him fat? Would you call Patrick?
He is obese
fat
for the modern day golf game.
He is. Obese isn't a word.
It's like he ate Jordan Spieth. if you compare the body,
that's what
types,
he's going to serve at the Masters dinner next year. Well, no, because they're going to roast and serve Jordan Spieth. I got a leg.
So there, if you're listening, I don't have the context that you do as
can't
a golfer.
Can't wait for that champions dinner, though. That'll be
as a amazing golfer, Mike, to know that, you know, what the narrative
poutine
should be. I'm just watching as a fan. Tiger got me back into the Masters this year, right? He punted. So
what
I gotta
got me is that our wonderful listeners, God bless one and all, sent me to this thing last year. Yep. Thank you, Stephen Douglas McIntyre and the fan club for sending me to the Masters, and you know, it was that close. I almost didn't go because you know, they don't allow my medication in there. So no, I'm kidding.
Did you take some solace that you went last year, Mike? That you went last year and it wasn't raining last year?
Yeah,
I took solace in the fact that it was like 51 degrees.
Yeah, it was freezing, and it finally
we had a flawless day last year. We really did.
I was watching. I was like, Mike would have been bitching. Dude, he would walk around that concourse. Yeah, he would have been cursing people out.
I had the bad wheel last year, and I was in pain even on a 72 degree day. It was just there was a brat vibe, and I like the people that aren't expected to win. I like
so
the underdog.
So I'm watching this as a fan, right?
Sure.
And at every turn, they're talking about how Spieth may have like this record day,
right?
And
which he did. He played really well. He didn't set a record, but he had a great day.
But Fowler, how the kids love him, and nothing about Bubba Watson 2.0, which is Jason Reid, right? Like nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Patrick Reed.
Patrick Reed. Yes. I also wanted to bring this up that the pink. The idea that he had to wear pink because Woods was going to wear red.
Right.
From Nike. So Nike let him know, hey, you can't wear red and black because that's Woods. Woods is going to wear red and black Sunday.
I didn't know
that.
Oh, that's fascinating.
You mean Nike stepped in and said, go with pink?
Both Rory and
Nike told the guy to wear pink. Yeah. He's a boy. Boys don't like to wear pink.
No, it actually looks pretty good.
Unless you're Bubba Watson.
He's probably okay with it today.
Yeah.
Well, it's the breast cancer thing. You know, Susan G. Coleman.
Still,
but
Woods is exempt from that, right? Woods is wearing.
But Woods was kind of out of the tournament.
He was,
going into the last
but that doesn't
day,
change
you know?
Anything.
Doesn't
still
change.
Tiger,
that's his color, right?
He's still Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of got. Did he really? Where? I didn't even know that. That's incredible.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because that's how powerful Tiger Woods is. The ratings have doubled from last year's the early projections.
Yeah,
and I got to tell you, I looked in.
Patrick Reed was you know, was there, and that's what he did. Hey, he was in my pool. I was rooting for him. Anyway, it's just stunning to me that Nike could be that heavy hand. I understand that, but to actually select the color, where did you get your info from? Because sometimes Todd Moore.
No, it's one of his
true.
Many fashion websites.
No,
he goes on.
Mike, you know, and this is the beauty of what we do here on the show, that on Sunday mornings, there's a full-fledged national ESPN show.
Right.
Yes.
And I'm sitting here with Rofo, and I'm learning, Mike. I'm learning from the pros.
Okay, so you're learning doing, how to bathe? You're doing the ESPN.
Yes. So I'm sitting there making sure that this place doesn't burn down and making sure Rofo has deodorant on. And they're doing the show, right?
Well, I thought it was something that was pink because his wife, is it wife or girlfriend, was wearing pink. There's something in the news about her color scheme.
When I saw him wearing that, I assumed he had a white shirt that he'd washed with something red. That's what I assumed.
With his red underwear that he had.
His red long underwear.
But anyway, it was an interesting day. I thought the coverage was a little disjointed because they would have loved Jordan. They would have loved Rory. They would have loved Ricky. But with Patrick, they kind of scramble to go, how do we make this guy interesting?
How many stories do you think? How many stories do you think Nance writes?
All right, let me tell you what they had. They had Tiger Woods, the comeback. Of course. That would have been the Mac Daddy of all sports comeback stories.
Well, they wrote that in February.
They do that in their sleep. Then you have Rory McIlroy trying to complete the career Grand Slam. That was story number two.
Good one.
He was going head-to-head against Patrick Reed. He stepped on his winky, and unfortunately, that didn't work out for them. Then,
remember when Nance said that?
Yes, when he stepped on his winky, a tradition unlike any other. Then hey, golf fans, I do it once a year, so lick it, okay? If you're having problems with this, lick it. That's just that.
Okay.
Yeah, I just turned it off when they started talking about golf.
Yes.
Some more. I dove deep into the pink, Mike.
That kind of show, pal.
Isolate that comment.
So they wanted to. I swear this is spin. That nobody wanted him to wear red, right? So they coordinated with the Masters. Like they wanted the Magnolia pink, a print pack is what a marketing choice of them. That Nike's saying is the Magnolia print pack is the pink shirt. That's why everybody wore it except for Tiger Woods.
Wow.
Magnolia print pack.
So all the Nike people wore the...
For Tiger.
Well, I mean, I don't think they all wore that, but Patrick Reed was the guy in contention that wore it. Because there were other Nike guys that didn't
wear it. It says, this is from golf.com, Mike. Publication of note. You may notice today that both Rory McIlroy and Patrick Reed are wearing bright pink shirts for the final round of 2018 Masters in Augusta National.
See, Rory wore it like an over jacket.
Okay.
Maybe that's why he was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But you didn't see his shirt underneath.
The reason has to
Patrick
do with
Patrick was a fat guy, so he popped his his jacket off within 1 minute like I would.
And he was complaining how hot it was at 50 degrees.
Yeah, man, 52 degrees. Get this jacket off me. Okay, come on.
Where are the pimento sandwiches that I've heard about?
Where did it go? It was in my jacket. The reason has to do with both a fashion decision by their sponsor, Nike. According with the PGA Tour rundown of the Master scripting, Nike apparel choices for its 17 players at Augusta this year was guided by the elements, a natural atmosphere of the tournament. On Thursday, Nike players wore dark-colored polos to represent clouds. On Friday, they're
so
like...
So hold on. So Nike, there's this whole thing that goes on?
Yes, listen to this.
As to what they wear?
On Friday, their light-colored shirts were supposed to symbolize clear weather.
All of these were chosen, Mike, by Alan Seuss.
The shades of electric blue on Saturday were for blue skies over Augusta, which brings us to Sunday. Nike's team choice was for its players on Sunday to wear vivid pink, a nod to Augusta's famous magnolia trees.
Wow.
Boy, so they can sell four shirts.
Tiger Woods is exempt from the neon pink. He'll still be in his traditional red and black.
Five if you count Tiger's shirts. They're kind of selling a lot of shirts that way.
That is really, really cool. Well, anyway, that was the Masters. And
I didn't mind the golf talk, Mike. It wasn't boring.
Now I just wait while the guy that runs our pool calculates. He's an accountant. He knows his stuff. And I just wait. Last year I had the winner, too. But lots of other people picked the winners. You just have to make sure you have your guys in the... I really think... I got a feeling I might be okay this year.
Big money?
But I'm not 100% sure.
Big money, you can buy yourself a pink shirt.
Pink shirt, pink shirt, pink shirt. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will talk to our intern, Andrea, and find out just how much of a world traveler he really is.
Hello, ladies. From the streets of Barcelona.
Yes. All right, get ready. Get ready, ladies. He's coming. Onto the show. That was weird. I'm sorry.
It's Mike O'Mara's show.
Still battling the flu. We'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Mara show. The hard way.
Rob and Joe here. You know, Joe, I was very excited. You have this new home. We built this fantastic studio inside.
Actually,
of
our
it.
Listeners built this studio.
They did with their own money. You know, that's what happens when people give you money and you use it for the intended purposes. But we come here today to do the Mike O'Mara show, and look at this studio.
It's beautiful, and not only that, Oscar offered us this equipment to use whenever we wanted. I feel like we wasted all this money that was given to us.
Yeah, and that's horrible whenever that happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, Japan. RobinJoeShow.com. New episode every single week. Listen loudly. Thank you.
Rob Mayer never forgets, doesn't he?
Breaking balls all the time.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Beachbody On Demand. Springtime, it's here.
Yes.
Are you enjoying any kind of spring weather today, boys?
In the 70s by Thursday night.
Thursday.
It's going to turn on Thursday.
Yesterday Thursday was night. 32.
Thursday. That's right. In Northern Virginia, 70s Thursday night, 30s on Friday
Mike,
morning.
It's a New England spring is what it is here.
The New England spring. That sounds like a song title. Springtime is here. Beach time around the corner. Luckily, all you need is Beachbody On Demand. Beachbody On Demand is a streaming service that gives you instant access to super effective workouts that you can do anywhere 24/7. This is the company behind P90X, Insanity, 21-Day Fix, T25, Brazil Butt Lift.
Yes.
Many, many more. Hundreds of workouts for all fitness levels, ranging from bodybuilding to weight training to cardio to yoga, even dance workouts. Workouts are as short as 10 minutes. Now, you might say, well, what benefit can I get? If you're doing something, if it's 10 minutes, it doesn't matter. It's good for you.
Do something.
And it can serve to motivate you even more. You don't have to do an hour. You can. But if you do a 10-minute workout, you do it 2, 3, 4 days a
fantastic.
Week. It's good for you. In the time it takes you to drive and park at the gym, you could be finished working out. Use your computer, smart TV, tablet, or any other smart device, and you can get it on those right away. Use your computer. Use anything you want. The best part, TMOS listeners can try it absolutely free. I know Oscar loves his. How are you progressing?
And you were down how many pounds?
Almost 10 pounds.
Attaboy!
Like 9.6,
beautiful.
Right?
I really want you to try this service because it will make you feel better, I promise. Our listeners can get a special free trial membership when you text TMOS to 303030. That's access to the entire platform for free, all the workouts, all the nutrition information, and the support totally free. Again, text TMOS to 303030 and do it today. Beachbody On Demand, and we thank you.
Awesome.
Let's bring in the wonderful intern, Andrea, who is our
Hello.
Italian intern, who is... Andrea, refresh my memory. You are over at AU yes. getting a... you're in a master's program over there now,
no,
right?
No, I had...
He's done.
You're done. You're just getting a little life experience by popping in and seeing how our band of merrymakers...
Yeah.
So you have an MA already,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So you are next to Oscar Santana. We've got some serious education in the room today.
Yeah, but Pony and I offset that.
Yeah. Yes, you balance.
It's a world of balance.
Andrea, I have to compliment you that you seem to have found your stride on social media.
Thank you.
Posting these wonderful, the one I read yesterday was the Sicilian rice cakes or
yes.
something that you had there? Oh my God, the food blogging. We're ready to get into
your like
own food show.
It's like a travel log when he writes because there's like a backstory and then there's a tasty treat.
But it's more than that. For those of you not in the know, Andrea, he loves food, but he has like a layer of sex to it that completely disgusts me. But the listeners love it.
Yes.
So it's like literatica with food.
It's exactly what it is. It's fantastic. It's exciting.
But I sit there and read them. Every time he posts, I'm like, oh my God, I hear it in his voice, and he's got a shirt off.
Well, it's a combination of ladies
really?
That love...
that's how I love it.
Rob, it's ladies that love sex and food.
Good morning.
Yeah,
it's wonderful. You
know? Like Frau Turner. Was that the lady who sold you the coffee cake?
You think Patrick Reed would enjoy...
I baked the calories out of it.
Andrea's recipes.
Hey, look what's in this green jacket, a cannoli.
So, are you, Andrea, I have to ask this question.
And yes.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I got to say, are you pulling these like off some website or are these experiences that, because you always seem to say,
well, most of them
this
are...
is something I had to do when I was a child. Is this true? I mean, what's going on?
Well, most of those are true, actually. I mean,
most of those are true.
No, but when, for example, I'll take the last one as an example. When I was nine years old, I actually did go to Sicily to visit my uncles and aunts who lived down there. And they did sell the arancini on the streets. And I was being chased down by a bunch of beautiful women that I didn't care much about because of the food.
Okay. And wow. Were these women, I think in terms of Sicily, and I base my the boot is Italy.
Oh, damn it.
The boot is kicking Sicily, though.
That's what it is. That's right. How I know that.
You have Sicily, and then it's cousin to the south, Sardinia.
Yes.
And you see, I went to American University where Andrea went, and we had a Sardinian soccer player, Amornsi, who was, he was Tunisian. I don't remember the guy's name from Sardinia, but he was a soccer player.
Was it Tony?
It was not Tony, Rob. Jesus.
Alfredo. Anyway,
so the women, you were a young boy.
Yes.
And the Sicilian women.
Yes.
Took a fancy to you.
Yes.
Is that
they did.
The way that they wanted to shower you with hugs and kisses? Am yes. I right? Is that how that went down?
Yes.
When you were in Sicily, did at any time an old man take a piece of orange and put it in his mouth and chase you like a monster and then die?
Making it into The Godfather.
No,
that's the only frame. You are so dumb.
Dumb.
What the hell?
Well, he's
oh, he's sweet. Come on. His myopic view of the world.
Rob's myopia is beyond. If it's not on television, he doesn't know it.
That's
he
me.
Didn't read the books. How did you graduate with the honors that you
it's
graduated?
It's VCU.
Unbelievable.
You get 85 just for showing up.
Here, Andrea, this is my stereotype of Sicily. I picture these women that are all like war widows, dressed all in black, that are chasing you through the streets.
That's Mike's worldly view.
The women of Sicily.
Yes.
Tell us about the women of Sicily.
So, well, there were these two. One of them was like a brunette. The other one was a blonde.
Yeah.
And they were both in their bikinis because they were just going to the beach. And they were chasing me down the street. And I was about to go to the beach. And I was like, ladies, I got to eat this first. Now we can talk.
I got to eat this first. And what are they again? They're Sicily. What are the treats? What are they called?
Arancini di riso.
I mean,
I'll take two.
Here's my debit number.
and they're rice cakes?
I saw the picture. Number. They're rice cakes. What do they have? And they're
so they're basically
right?
rice cakes. So they sell them in like two different shapes. One of them is like more round. The other one is kind of more oval. And they have two different tiers. One of them is mozzarella.
The other one is shaped like a penis. That is the way it is. I'm sorry. No.
Everything you say is sexual.
So
is.
one of them has like ham and mozzarella inside.
Oh, see, there you go. Now
and
we're
the other one. Has ragu with peas and mozzarella. And they're like two different
things. Now Rob immediately thinks ragu spaghetti sauce out of a jar you get on a television commercial. I saw your brain.
No, actually, Mike, I was too busy sitting
ragu?
In the... I was
you
too,
mean they get the jar out of the grocery store, duh?
Just too busy in the corner picking my nose and eating it to pay attention to that.
Ragu is like sustenance. It's like a sauce,
a reduced
right?
sauce, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And but there's like so much of the food you've talked about, these are simple. This is not a complicated thing, but simplicity is what makes the cooking so great.
Yeah, it is. Mm. It really is.
And you spend time cooking for the women in your life. We've discussed that before.
The thing is, it's like ever since I broke off my last relationship, I have been unavailable.
Like emotionally unavailable?
Oh, unavailable in any way. I was like, I have
you mean
no time
for this. You're living a life of solitude? You're not dating at all now?
No, I'm not dating at all. No.
Well, and is this a conscious decision or something that you just
choose not to be out there? Yeah, well, it's kind of a conscious decision. I mean, the other day I received like this message, which basically like this lady was like, "Hey, I'm ready."
Really?
Yeah. I'm and ready. She was like, she
was her
like,
name Merle?
No. She was like, she tells me like Kiki all Ken. These, she tells me all these things, right, that are like sexual in nature. And like, I don't really know her that well. And so I was like,
social media in the United States.
I know. And so I was like, listen, like, I asked her like a few questions that are like personal and like, she doesn't want to answer me on them. And I was like, well, show me like at least like, something, right?
Show me your cans.
A photograph.
Yeah,
a photograph of you.
Something
a photograph
terrible.
Of you. And she's like, I cannot do that. And I was like, in that case, I'm sorry. Goodbye.
Oh, well, I don't blame you. That's a smart move on
proof
your part.
Of life.
But to be honest, Andrea, they come in two shapes, oval and round.
uh,
Oh, excuse me. Here we go. Oh, dear.
Mike's making a little ragu.
Here we go.
Boy.
Andrea, for purpose of just explanation here,
yes.
Do you have an age limit? You know, you talked about the older women when you were, but you were a boy yes. in those days. Now, do you have a particular age range for women that that you would be interested in? We always ask that of single people on the show.
Yeah, what are you into?
And we don't know Andrea's age.
Yes, how old are you, Andrea?
I'm 25.
You're 25.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you have an age limit for women that you would be comfortable dating?
Well, so in the past, the thing I
What's your range?
Yeah. But I'll just explain a little bit. So like in the past, the thing I used to do is I would always date younger. Always.
Okay. All right.
So like 1 to 2 years younger. No, I'm open. I'm open.
He's open.
You're open now.
You're open
to,
for business.
Do you think perhaps a relationship with an older woman would be something appealing to you now since you have not necessarily had luck in love with the younger women?
Perhaps, you know, but I never okay. tried
yes,
it before.
Yes, Oscar Santana, so you have a question.
With yes. The news breaking this past week that yes. The Craigslist personals are closed yes. and Backpage has been shuttered,
yes.
There is a marketing opportunity for you. Are you open for a relationship of convenience?
God.
Oh, something short-term.
Yes.
We are not good people.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, he's open. He's open mind.
He's open. Sure. Yeah. He's open like yeah. that. Would you, okay, so you haven't been cooking for women because you have yes. been living the single life for a yes. while and not really wanting to get out there. Was your last relationship, was the breakup a little painful for you?
No, it was something that relieved me to no end.
Oh, wow.
Yes!
Wow, all right.
What was what was the main source of friction in the last relationship?
Okay,
What?
Let me give him the ding on that one, right?
So there were many things that like didn't work out, but I'll just take this one as an example.
Did not like my food.
No, it wasn't that. So like after I got diagnosed with the diabetes, it was like that was all I was going to talk about. Right.
Yeah.
So you were right. sick. You had a little.
Yeah,
problem
I was sick, and my
it.
Father, meanwhile, was going on his business trips to Italy and bringing back all sorts of things that I could not have. And so,
oh,
like,
yeah, you're sad about that. That sure. that's a very big part of your
she's
life.
She's like lying in bed, right? And there are like these 5 chocolate covered treats by the bedside, and like she turns around and like she starts eating them, and it's not like eating slowly. She's like devouring those things. Okay. And then she turns to me and she says. Do you want one?
And
I was like, I cannot have it. No, she's like, oh no, but you need to live a little. Why don't you go outside and have chocolate cake?
What?
And I was like, listen, honey, is that how much you love me? You want me to go to the hospital? Is that what you want me to do?
Right between the lines.
Okay, I get it.
I'll visit you every day. In the hospital. That's
so true.
So you broke it off.
Because, yes,
she wanted you to eat chocolate cake.
Enough is enough.
It's like an episode of Quincy.
You know, Andrea, let me just say, as the elder statesman of this show, yes. you've got your entire life in front of you.
Yes.
You've got an incredible opportunity. We love your association with mm-hmm. us on the show. Continue to blog. Continue to write about your food experiences or anything else. I know that I enjoy reading it, and our listeners enjoy reading it,
Thank you.
We love having you around.
100%.
And just keep us posted, okay? Let us know what's going on, okay? Because it would be very, very... she said to go out and eat chocolate cake. So to get out of my apartment now. We're going to go. That's the way it's going to go. That's Andrea. Give him a nice round of applause.
Well done.
Good job. That's right. The wonderful diabetic man about town, ladies and gentlemen. We will take a break and then come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, it's Freights. This week, Mike and I have another heaping hot helping of political persuasions for you. We talk about the dangers of corporate media, Scott Pruitt's oh-so-affordable DC digs, and Facebook saying, Zuck it, our bad.
You can download Political Persuasions on iTunes, MikeO'MaraShow.com, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Anyway, brought to you by Amazon. Some of you know that we have a new policy for Amazon for 2018, but we want to make sure that everyone knows it. Here's all you need to know. To ensure that we get credit for your Amazon purchase, just make sure that you click the Amazon link at the top of the TMOS website. Super easy. and that will guarantee that we get credit for your purchase. So start clicking, because if you need it, Amazon has it. What's today's Amazon purchase of the day, boys?
I could recommend an Elvis CD every day, but this one is special. This weekend on HBO, there's a two-part documentary premiering called Elvis Presley, The Searcher. It's the first time Graceland has collaborated with a documentary filmmaker to show Elvis in a less than glorious light.
Ooh.
They're going to show some of the warts and all of Elvis's life. Mark Riddell has seen it. He said it's fantastic.
Genital warts?
Genital warts on all over Elvis's jumpsuit.
Yes,
but what you need to know is they put out a soundtrack to it. Three compact discs. The most exciting disc, the third disc, shows the songs that influenced Elvis.
Oh, cool.
And they've never done anything
Wise
like this.
Wise men say, and I've got warts and all.
And it's $6 cheaper on Amazon.com than it is if you buy it through Graceland. It's $33. Elvis Presley, The Searcher, sounds fantastic. Highly recommended.
Cool.
Amazon really does have everything, man. You can find that Elvis Warts and All show and more at the top of MichaelMarishShow.com. So get clicking, people. Go do it now.
News.
If there is an art to divorce, Russell Crowe has mastered the profiting off of it.
Really?
The actor rang in his 54th birthday and anniversary to soon-to-be ex-wife Danielle Spencer on Saturday with a wide-ranging auction of memorabilia from his storied career that netted, are you ready for this, $2.8 million.
Now, I knew he was doing the auction. I didn't think it was going to break $2 million. Wow.
Sotheby's handled the event in Sydney, which featured Crowe himself, who later tweeted that it wasn't a bad hourly wait for a five-hour shift. Among the loot, let me see, Crowe's body armor from Gladiator fetched $74,000, way above the predicted sale price. A replica Roman chariot from the same movie. See, people love that movie. That's his movie. Gladiator is his movie.
Mm-hmm.
Went for nearly $50,000, far exceeding Sotheby's estimate of $7,700. And the violin Crowe played in Master and Commander was demonstrated before its sale, and it fetched $135,000 Australian.
Wow.
I don't know what that is
I think
American,
it's almost
but.
Pretty equal. I think it's very close.
So congratulations to Russell. What a great way to get a divorce. You do that.
Oh, yeah.
Fun, right?
I should have auctioned off a few from my two.
Anyway. Well, you always wanted to keep your chariots.
Yeah, I did. I kept it in the garage, and then she sold it. Toronto police are searching for a woman who allegedly stole a rock inscribed by Yoko Ono from the city's Gardner Museum on Friday. It's a rock.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a rock. That is
literally
what,
a rock.
It's a rock. It's valued at $17,500. I don't know how they got that number, but it displays the phrase love yourself, according to the Toronto Star. The stone is part of a three-part interactive installation entitled Yoko Ono the River. She took stones warmed by water and wrote different words on each. And some lady went into the museum, picked up the rock. You're supposed to pick it up and read it and get the reflect on it or something.
Yeah.
And she walked out with the rock. And,
security says everything, right? Like, if it's that valuable, you're not going to let people just pick it up and roll with it.
Yeah. I don't think so. I mean, when I heard rock, I thought maybe a diamond, but she didn't have a lot of jewelry.
No.
Patrick Reed won the Masters on Sunday. We've been talking about it, which meant there was a lot of camera time for his wife, Justine.
Justine!
That's my wife, Justine!
Justine used to be Patrick's caddy and often serves as a consultant for him, going over game plans for courses. She's clearly got an extremely valuable membership in his golf team, but her outfit of choice during the championship round on Sunday drew attention and lots of the same jokes because everybody was comparing her to Barney the dinosaur because she was wearing pink and green. And, you know, they gave her a hard time. And I noticed her.
I'm sure they meant it well.
I watch literally every minute of this, this telecast. And I watched her. She had the pink on and she did both on Saturday and Sunday, but she was very noticeable with the outfits, and she's there supporting her hubby, so leave her alone.
Leave Patrick's wife alone.
Leave her alone right now!
This is kind of weird that this food has existed across the ocean forever, and it never really became a thing over here. Over in England, they eat something called a chip sandwich. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
This is literally just French fries between two pieces of bread. There's no meat or anything. It's just fries and bread with maybe some ketchup on top.
Sounds awesome.
Look for it at the
Masters
dinner.
Like I do.
Look for it at the Masters dinner next year.
There we go. In the pink and green. Apparently, these sandwiches are finally on their way over here. A tweet about chip sandwiches recently went viral, so now Americans are talking about them, and it's really about time. I agree. I think most people would say, hey, fries, here, we here. Love fries.
Sounds good. Yeah.
That'll be good. Yummy, yummy. A new survey asked people, how many times do you wear a pair of underwear before you wash them? And while you'd think they all said once, that didn't happen. Apparently, 31% of men and 10% of women wear their underwear two times or more before they wash them. 3% turn their underwear inside out before they wear them the second time. That's weird. And I don't know if that makes it better or worse. And there's more. 26% of women wear a bra at least 5 times before they wash it, and 6% wear at least 10 times. And 31% of people wear their gym clothes at least 3 times before they wash them.
Wow.
So let's go around the room. Anybody wear underwear? How often do you change your underwear?
Every day. The only thing I can comment to is that there was a thing when my kids were little that they would wear their pajamas inside out to make it snow. But that's the only thing I can relate to. But I mean, it wasn't ever a cleanliness thing. No, always.
I will wear a pair of gym shorts if I go for a bike ride. I will take off the gym shorts and I'll wear those again for knocking around the house. But I'll never wear underwear more than once.
Once I became an adult and actually could take care of myself and realize I dreaded ever being the smelly kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So I do it every day.
Yeah,
have
so
to
we're
do.
All every day.
Pony hasn't weighed in
underwear every day. What about gym? What about gym clothes? Do you? Wear
I actually
day?
Sweat when I work out, well, Mike. So
what are
I can't.
They?
I can't.
What are these gym clothes you speak of?
I don't. You ask. What?
What are these gym clothes you speak of?
Like a pair of gym shorts.
I have no idea.
For riding my bike.
Don't know what you're talking about.
A JIM.
I understand that.
Yeah, it must be a guy.
Yeah, but gym. I wear my sports bra. You know, I'll wear that 5 or 6 times.
It's all control, Mike.
That's right. But, don't forget the Band-Aids.
Well, I wear that only when it's chilly. Don't have to worry about that down here like I did back in Northern Virginia.
Tell me about it.
Where I wear my Band-Aids over my nipples. That was it. And now, a little something-something, ladies and gentlemen. He's a 66-year-old guy. His name is Andrew Higdon. He is a roofer in West Monroe, Louisiana. I mean, right there.
You really, I've almost got enough.
Back in June of 2016, he put a new roof on a woman's home. Well, she never paid him. She said they had an agreement that she'd pay him when she got an insurance settlement. And by the way, down here in Hurricane Land, that's a big deal. The insurance company's waiting for the money to come in. Some people will do your work. Some people will wait. This lady was waiting. If she's waiting for an insurance settlement, it could be a very, very long time. Well, he got impatient, and in December of 2016, he started demanding his money. She didn't have it, and I'm guessing she figured there was nothing he could really do, or she just really didn't have the money, but he kept bugging her, and, he got pissed off. He repossessed her roof.
No.
Whoa.
He took the entire roof back off. Her home was totally exposed. He actually took the roof off of the house.
Man.
Got back on the roof, took all his stuff. Then it rained. That caused $11,000 in damage. So the woman went to the cops. Andrew was arrested because of, in reckless trespassing, all those other things. And Andrew, when asked for comment on this, Andrew said, Remember, he's 66 years old. Or I should say, I'm going to take my roof back, What a special guy.
Nice
I hope
fella.
They throw the book at the prick, really. I'm going to take the roof back. Yeah.
The amount of effort to remove a roof would be more to put it on.
Green. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Get up there. Can't we go make some money? Nah, take it off.
Go on, get.
He owes me money. Yeah, go on. Get up there. There you go. Monroe, Louisiana. Yeah. Take that roof off. Thank you. Just had to get that off my chest. We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And now, advice from Andrea.
Here he is.
Hello, ladies. This is Andrea, the Italian DMOS intern. Here's my advice on how to master diabetes. Go to a bakery and watch other people eat cakes while you savor a gluten-free cookie. Sit in a pub. And when your friend asks, want a beer? Say you'll stick to the water. When you want something sweet, go to the kitchen and prepare oatmeal without added sugar. And remember,
to tell every person you want to date that you have diabetes for added flair, and then have them back at your place for a sweet, sweet injection. Then, and only then, will you have mastered diabetes. Buon divertimento. Ciao.
Oh my God! I love you owning that, Andrea. I do. That is fantastic. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. There's a certain magic in the air.
Yes,
and that can only mean one thing. It's springtime, biatches.
Mm-hmm.
Time to go and romp in the new cool grass. Breathe deep and cough hard. Thank you. Hi. And a young man's thoughts turn to love, but beware: the warm air and outdoor fun means the return of chiggers and ticks. And all sorts of blood-sucking stuff. Maybe VD, too.
Yeah.
Even worse, the countryside will be teeming with TMOS listeners that don't subscribe to the bonus show. They suck worst of all. Blood-sucking, slimy parasites that leave you feeling comedically drained. They take and take.
Takers!
Hear that sucking sound? They suck worst of all. They're nasty. Sign up for the TMOS bonus show. Don't be a bloodsucker. The future of our show depends on it, and it's the most fun we have each week. It still has the exciting pollen-y goodness that screams springtime. Mm. And it ain't allergies. It ain't allergies. Your eyes are watering because you've laughed yourself to tears. Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com and click the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. So please quit sucking, and thank you. Now, let's open up the audio vault for Monday, April 9, 2018. Rob Spiewa.
If I had to pick one great moment from the Masters, it would be on Saturday when Freddie Couples, on the 11th hole, hit a patron in the head with his golf ball, and you could hear it. Fred Couples.
1992 winner Fred Couples. Oh, my word.
Play it again. Play it again because you really do hear. Oh, yeah, that hurts.
It does. It really does. Fred Couples.
1992 winner Fred Couples. Oh, my word.
Ooh. Oh, God, that's painful.
Yeah. Okay. Give them a free pimento sandwich. Okay, good news for you, Mike. I know you love reality TV and you love rock and roll.
Oh, both. Yeah.
So you're going to be turning on AXS TV. That's AXS TV.
Yes.
Hidden. I watched American Idol last night.
Did you love it?
You.
I watched it for 33 seconds.
Oh, no.
Oh, then you missed the greatest moment when Lionel actually sang hello. It was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. Hello.
You didn't like it? All right. You're going to like this, though, Mike. Eddie Money is getting a reality show.
Oh, I heard about this. I didn't know what's actually happening.
It's Eddie called
Money. What is Eddie Money? 80 now?
It's
How
called,
old is he?
It's called Real Money. Here's the trailer.
Who are you?
I'm Eddie Money. Your mother's a big fan of mine. And I made my bones back in the mid-70s. We had 24 songs to tell me in the top 100. We were on the road with the Stones. We played with The Who, Fleetwood Mac, Steve Miller, you name. You know, I was out to just be successful and sell a lot of records and have as much fun as I possibly could be on everybody's back, you know? Kind of like the Eddie Haskell of rock and roll, you know? That was then. This is now. I got a wife and five kids, and three of my kids are in the band.
Are you ready?
We're kind of like the Partridge Family. Only dysfunctional.
He has three kids, Mike, and they're all in their mid-60s.
I am... All
me too.
Over it.
Me too.
I am all over it. There is no one better suited for a reality television program.
He's like Ozzy, but you'll be able to understand him.
Oh my. And he's got to be in his 70s.
I think he's got to be 70. Yeah.
He's got to be at least 70 years old.
I will find out what channel AXS is. AXS, and I will send
Book
it to you.
Book Eddie Money for the show, Rob.
You we got it.
Get him on.
You got
Absolutely.
It. I love it. All right. This is my favorite Florida story in, I dare say, weeks. Dateline Jacksonville. A dentist has a lady come into the office. I saw her video. She's reasonably good looking. She's not a bad looking lady. And before he offers the procedure, he offers her red wine and a foot massage. Okay, so that's a little creepy, right? Weirder yet, she accepts it. And in retrospect, he may have wanted to put on gloves or wash his hands because afterwards he worked on her mouth and she went to a hospital because of the foot to mouth thing. She got an abscess in her mouth.
Back massage, a foot massage. And I asked him, I said, are you serious? He was giving me a foot massage and then I didn't see him change gloves. So like your hands are in my mouth and now my whole mouth is infected. I was swallowing some of the filling material that was on the right side. I'm scared that I'm going to end up back in the hospital.
We wish her all the best.
So gross.
Ew. I mean, there's many layers. That is, I mean, there's
that's like, just, but she's, you know, I'm sorry. Your dentist offers you a wine and a foot massage. Run.
Yeah.
Leave the office immediately.
I bet the wine came before the foot massage.
Oh, oh my God.
Are you enjoying that, Rosé?
Gross.
How would you like a little foot rub? Because as you know, Mike, a foot rub always means something.
I ain't saying it's right, but you're saying a foot massage don't mean nothing. I'm saying it does. And look, I've given a million ladies a million foot massages, and they all meant something. We act like they don't, but they do. There's a sensuous thing going on where you know, you don't talk about it, but you know it. She knows it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. And change your gloves.
Yes,
change your gloves.
Do.
Hey, you want to play a game?
Yes.
Someone put together the best maniacal movie laughs of all time. Okay. I will play you the laugh. You guess who is doing it. And in some cases, the movie. Not this time, though. Number
five. Are they all like horror suspense type movies?
Not at all. Not at all. Some
they
of them.
They can be comedies,
They
right?
can be any kind of genre of movie.
Right.
The first one is a montage. All the same actor looking for this actor.
I know. I got
all right,
it.
Mike rings in.
Robert De Niro.
No, I'm sorry. That's incorrect. You have to give yourself a buzzer there. Oh, Oscar, you can steal the laugh.
Man. James Spader.
The answer, I'm sorry, buzzer two. The answer we are looking for, Nicolas Cage.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Nicolas Cage.
Damn it.
But right, the points are right. doubled on maniacal laugh number A-hole. Four.
All right. I got it.
Mike O'Mara.
Tom Hanks.
Exactly. 2 points for Mike. And the movie, I almost gave it away.
The Money Pit.
Exactly. Maniacal laugh number three. Name this laugh. I'll give it to you one more time.
I'm stumped.
I'll give you a hint. It's from an inhuman object. One more time.
Oh, I got it. Inner Space. Martin Short.
No, I'm sorry. He would be a human.
Damn it.
Buzzer for that.
I thought you meant inhuman.
Yeah, he was in a human.
Inhuman.
You took me literally.
In a human.
No, the answer, Mike, do you have a guess?
One more time, please.
All righty.
Jack Nicholson.
Oh, I got it. Shrek, Eddie Murphy.
No, that's Chucky from Child's Play.
Damn it.
Oh, that's not a celebrity. That's not a celebrity.
All right, you'll have number two, though. Points are doubled. One more time.
Jack Nicholson again.
Hey, it's in The Shining. Yes, exactly. Very good. Double 4 points for Mike. But
thank you.
20 points on this top
oh,
one.
Oh, I can come back.
So this is the winner.
This is the winner. Name right. this maniacal movie laugh number one.
Oh, man.
One more time.
I don't know. I have
Oscar?
A hint?
This is a fairy tale movie.
Oh, Princess Bride.
Yes, but the character.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. I know.
Oh, the
my
bald
tongue.
Guy. The bald guy.
Yeah, I'll give it to Mike. It's Vizzini is his name. His
Damn
name
it.
Is Vizzini.
Okay, I get it. Yeah.
That's right, because you took the poison and drank the wine. That's the way it's supposed to work.
No, unless you're right, a Sicilian.
Yeah, the Sicilian.
That's a great, what a great actor. He should be in more stuff. Is he dead?
No, I think he's with us still.
Right,
I can't think
good.
Of his
That's
name.
That's wonderful news.
And we close with this over the weekend on Netflix, Seth Rogen's Hilarity for Charity. I think it's his fifth time he's done this, a charitable comedy special. Sometimes it started, I think, as a live event, and then they put it on the Netflix. Mike and I, we were talking last week. Seth Rogen is getting better as like a talk show guest.
Yeah.
He's becoming more likable.
He's growing. He's getting better with age.
And really. This is a little scene he did with another comic that I think is very funny named Nick Kroll. So here's Seth Rogen and Nick Kroll on Hilarity for Charity.
Seth Rogen!
Nick Kroll, how's it going, man?
How you been?
I've been good. I've been very good. I feel blessed.
So what's going on, dude?
Not too much. Just hanging out, man.
Good. Hey, yeah. Can you do me a quick favor? You can totally say no, but my cousin is like your biggest fan in the world. And I was wondering, could you just make a video real quick for him where you say his name, then say 420 for life, and then do your stupid laugh?
No. Honestly, like, I don't really like portraying myself as like a stoner that much anymore.
You're smoking a joint right now.
In my personal life. In my public life, I don't want to portray myself as a stoner anymore.
Yeah. Have you told your eyes and your whole body of work that? That's sort of the laugh, but more like, you know, like a motorcycle drowning.
Come on, man, look. I don't want to do it, okay? I just don't want to do it.
Just do it, man.
I don't want to do
you
it.
You don't have to, but just do it, man.
I don't want to do
just
it,
just do it.
No.
Come on, man. I do you favors all the time.
What are you talking about? Like what?
Sausage party?
Oh, come on, man. That was a good role. You were the villain in the movie.
You made me the douche. When I walk through the airport now, people scream douche at me.
That's not because of the movie, Nick.
So that is hilarity for charity. The actor, awesome. Mike Wallace Shawn, was in The Princess Bride. His name is Wallace Shawn. And
Wallace Shawn. That
is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
That's it, people. Thanks for joining us for another episode. Be sure and get our TMOS app and unlock the Mike O'Mara Show 24 hours a day. Send your messages for our Tuesday mailbag to Rob with an extra B at MikeO'MaraShow.com. All regular mail, TMOS, Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. On average each day, 96 Americans killed by guns. Visit every town for gun safety to find out how we can end gun violence in America. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.